Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. We're on Podbean, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. We're also on Dash Radio on their Nothing But Net channel every single weeknight at 7 p.m. Also, check out the Five Reasons YouTube channel before floor, an hour before every game. Post up 5 hours as soon as the game ends. If you hit the subscribe button, you'll get all of our content, and there is a lot of it on all the South Florida teams. FiveReasonsSports.com for the latest takeaways from Brady Hawk and others on the teams in town. We do not have a paywall. And check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. While we're talking about the internet, you got to check out NordVPN. Online security starts with a click. NordVPN encrypts your internet traffic and hides your IP and virtual location. NordVPN helps protect you against bandwidth throttling from internet providers, where ISPs slow down your internet to get you to upgrade. NordVPN allows you to switch your country IP address to access Netflix, Disney Plus, and YouTube Premium in other countries for cheaper prices. They offer unparalleled browsing security and protection from hacking of personal data. So get your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/5RSN or use the promo code 5RSN to get a discount on your NordVPN plan. One additional month for free and a bonus gift to checkout. And you'll always get NordVPN's 30-day money get back guarantee. So check it out for internet security, nordvpn.com/5RSN. And now, today's episode. Down to Biscayne.
Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got it all banned. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
Welcome back to Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Here's today's floor plan. I got Brady Hawk. You can follow him at BradyHawk305. I've got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. The Miami Heat win, well, as we're speaking last night, by the time you listen to this, maybe 2 nights ago, they're first in the Eastern Conference. They're clear by 3 games. They have tiebreakers over most of the key teams in the East. They've got Victor Oladipo back after an extremely successful 15-minute stint. We all covered that. Check out the YouTube channel and the podcast feeds. We did plenty of episodes on that already. They've got Markieff Morris coming back soon. Kyle Lowry is back with the team. Things look, knock on something, pretty perfect right now. And so we're going to tempt fate here a little bit. The Phoenix Suns are in town. They are not in town with all of their core players, including Chris Paul, but they have been. There's no question about it. The record says it, but also just the way they conducted themselves this year. They're the best team in the NBA. They're coming off an NBA Finals appearance. They got off to a slow start this year. They've gone on 3 incredible runs already this season. Devin Booker is a legitimate superstar type talent. Sorry, Justice. And, you know, they've got a guy in Ayton who may, whether or not they want to re-sign for the maximum, is playing at a very high level. Cam Johnson has stepped up. They're really, really good. Okay. And they're in a conference, guys, that is not as good as it has been in past years. Typically the West goes 8, 9, 10 deep. I mean, this year, the Lakers, I mean, don't belong to play in China this year. And they're probably going to make the play-in just because the conference is not great. This is going to be only the second time since 1999 that the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference has a better record than the 8th seed in the Western Conference. That is how much this is tilted. But there have been a couple of teams at the top. It has been basically Phoenix, Golden State, and then Memphis has made a move over Utah. And Golden State has fallen back lately, where actually they are now tied with the Heat for the second best record in the league when they had about a 10-game lead over the Heat 2 months ago. So what we're going to talk about tonight is what would be the Heat's prospects if they get out of the East? Which are the teams that would give them the most trouble? And we're going to start with the one that's here, not the version that's here on Wednesday night without Chris Paul and some other guys, but in totality. So I'll start here with you, Alex. In your view, first thing, are the Phoenix Suns the favorite to come out of the West?
They should be. I mean, I've said at different points throughout the season, I would pick the Warriors, but I get why the Suns should be considered the favorites. Like you said, you said it pretty succinctly there. Like, they've been the best team in the league all season. They were obviously in the finals last season. They've proven that they've been that team this year. They've, I mean, both teams, when we're talking about the Heat and the Suns, are one seeds, and there's seven games between them when you're talking about wins. So that's how damn good they've been all year. So I get it. They should be the favorites. I just think, you know, you get them in a series of the Warriors, wouldn't be surprised if the Warriors win. But, yeah, they're the favorites.
Are they the favorites, Brady?
Yeah, definitely. Like, you were mentioning how the West is just different than it's been. It's basically of the Eastern Conference of what we usually know. Like, when LeBron just overpowering the East and it's just like, oh, who's going to face LeBron this year? That seems like where the Suns kind of sit right now, because they just clearly the games that are behind them kind of tell you that. But they're just a better overall team from top to bottom. But I think from a fun exercise sense, I think the Heat and the Suns would be just a really fun matchup, just going player by player, because they're similar in a lot of ways of just the Chris Paul, Kyle Lowry dynamic. Obviously, two different players, but the veteran point guards who set other guys up, the Ayton Bam stuff, the Crowder, PJ Tucker, they have guys off the bench in Cam Johnson and Cam Payne, just like Hero and Oladipo. Like, McGee and Deadman are probably two of the best backup bigs in this league. I think that would just be a really fun matchup, and just from a basketball sense, but definitely from top to bottom, it just seems like East or West, the Suns are definitely the best out of the grouping.
The one place where the Phoenix Suns are better than the Miami Heat, and it shows up in all of the numbers, is in the clutch. They are dynamic in the last 5 minutes of games. They know, again, with a full roster, they know who they got to get to. They know where to get the ball at the right time. They know how to use the clock. They do it defensively, but more so than the Heat do, they do it offensively. That is where a series against Phoenix would be problematic, I think, for this Miami team until they figure some things out. I think a lot of the individual matchups you're comfortable with. I think you're comfortable with Bam against Ayton. I think you're comfortable with Jimmy Butler matching up with Mikal Bridges. I think you're fairly comfortable with maybe Victor Oladipo guarding Devin Booker a little bit, or maybe Gabe Vincent slots in there or some of their other guys. I don't think you're particularly comfortable with what would happen if the game was tight in the last 4 or 5 minutes. That would be the biggest concern for me of a Phoenix series. And I don't necessarily think that's the case with some of these other teams. So let's pivot a little bit. If it's not going to be Phoenix, everybody thought it would likely be Golden State because of the start that they got off to. I can tell you that as much as the numbers were great early, I wasn't as sold on the Warriors as some. Even with the thought that Clay was coming back, which you knew they were going to have to integrate him, I still don't feel they're that strong up front. We're going to talk about Draymond. I still think some of their players, I've been following Warriors fans, have been complaining about sort of decision-making that Jordan Poole makes in certain situations. They have some young guys I don't know that you can necessarily trust. And Andrew Wiggins, to me, all-star mention or not, is not somebody you can count on consistently. And it's starting to show up right now with his numbers. So I'll start with you on this, Brady. Does Draymond fix everything for them?
Basically, like, it feels like that is what it is, because if you're talking about the defensive numbers, they have not been good without him. He can fix that. Their half court stuff, like, it just feels like he can get Steph involved and get other guys involved, rebounding, like, every aspect that they're missing lately is probably Draymond can plug it. But to relate it to a Heat sense in comparison, let's say to the Suns, Warriors kind of fit what Miami does defensively a little bit more than I would say Phoenix would. And the reason I say that is because if we dumb it down to like the things Miami does defensively that we're used to, when there's like a guard and a big combo, they put PJ on that guard and they just immediately switch it. If they're switching that combo between Steph and Draymond, that's constantly spammed, and you have Bam on Steph and PJ on Draymond, generally you feel really comfortable with both those matchups. When in the sense of Phoenix, if you don't know which guy to put PJ on, because the other guy can just pull up the pick and roll and kind of dissect it in a way that just makes it much different. So it feels like schematically, defensively, Miami would probably fit the Warriors a little bit more, but it's just the sense of like they can explode in any game because that's just the type of team they are. So it just feels like I'm interested to see how much Draymond really does plug. And I think, what is it, like 4 or 5 more games until he even comes back? There's going to have to be some rhythm there. But if ultimately, if they catch some fire, they end up in a finals run. They are just a high level offense and firepower team that also has generated, you know, some really good numbers defensively.
Alex, how do you like their matchup against the Suns, and how would you like their matchup against the Heat?
I like what Brady was talking about there, because it got my gears going a little bit mentally, trying to like go through the matchups in my head and thinking about what he was talking about there as far as what the Heat like to switch and how it would look versus each of those. And it's tough, man. Like, I think before I would have said the Warriors are the tougher matchup. I still might be there, but it's just hard to think about because it feels like we've been focusing on the Eastern team so much this season as far as playoff matchups. And now when I'm focused to think about the Warriors and the Suns, it's really hard to choose between them because the Suns have absolutely been the better team all series. But I'm just a little bit more scared of Steph on the offensive side and then Draymond and the elite Warriors defense on the defensive end. And I just like, I know Klay hasn't been that good yet, but I kind of expected him to kind of not be Klay right away, even though a lot of what he does is three-point shooting. I think it was going to take a little while for him to get his rhythm back. I kind of just expect them to be the Warriors in the playoffs. And I look at them a lot like the Warriors teams pre-KD, whereas like they've turned Andrew Wiggins into their version of what Harrison Barnes used to be for them. You know, you've got Steph and Draymond, obviously. You're hoping Klay can go back to a certain facsimile of what he was before. And I just think like they've been an elite defense all season. You also have Jordan Poole, who's like, I don't know, three-fourths of Tyler Hero for them, maybe a little more, but he's been good in that role for them. I just think like they're a really talented team, and I'm a little bit more scared of them than I am of the Suns, maybe because I don't really trust the Aiden stuff as far as like he's always going to have tough defenders on him. Even if he gets smaller guys switched onto him, there's always going to be help. Chris Paul is older and can't beat you off the dribble, doesn't get into the paint. I respect everything he does. He's really good despite not being able to get into the paint anymore. But I just like, I'm more scared of Steph when it comes to if I'm the Heat. You know, I think I respect Steph more at this age and time.
Of course, Steph hasn't done his best work in the finals, typically. I think that needs to be taken into some consideration. And there's no Durant there to bail him out. I am, you know, a Steph Curry sycophant, but I covered final series where, you know, he didn't win the MVP, pretty much all of them. And so I do think that we've seen with him, there has been a little bit of an efficiency drop with the exception of the All-Star game of late. And here's the other thing about it. They've done a number on him. I mean, the Heat in the past, there was a stretch during the big 3 years where he went crazy on them. In recent years though, they've done a good job. And we have seen when they focus on one, I know the Warriors have other options, but he is there. He's the hub of all of it.
I feel they can do that for Paul and Booker too. That's kind of my thing with it.
But there's two of them. That's the thing. I mean, unless Klay is going to be back at the level that he was at before, I mean, you're not worrying about Draymond offensively as a scorer. He does a lot of other things, obviously. But I think with Ayton, there's another dimension there that the Golden State really doesn't have that kind of big. And again, with Golden State, there's some questions for me about some of their others. Like I guess I just don't fear Andrew Wiggins, after all this time. I mean, they would be, look, if they got to the finals, it's because Steph and Klay were playing at a high level and Draymond was healthy. So that is why they would scare you, and they've done it right. They've, unlike Phoenix, they finished the job before. So that would be concerning. I mean,
they're second in net rating for the season. So they
no, I know they are. They've really been awful the last 10. And I think maybe that's coloring my judgment here a little bit. I mean, for the fact that the Heat, with everything that they've gone through, have gotten into a tie with Golden State. I'll say this also. I mean, I love what Steve Kerr does from a schematic standpoint, but for a playoff series, give me Spo. Okay, I think, and Kerr has made good adjustments over the years, putting Iguodala in the final in the starting lineup after not doing it against, you know, the whole season. He put him in the starting lineup against Cleveland. But again, if you're talking about one series, give me Spo. All right, when we come back, we're going to get into some of the other teams in the West, including the one that just from a roster composition standpoint might actually give the Heat the most problems. Before we do, though, Brady's appearances here are sponsored by our friend Eric Rubenstein. This is the personal injury attorney that you want to go to if you're here in South Florida. He did go to FSU. Don't hold him against you. Hold it against him. But he's got a law degree from down here in St. Thomas. He graduated magna cum laude. He's got, I will just say, he's got the most entertaining Instagram account you will find. It's Ask About Me, I Got You. I don't know if there's a rapper that Eric doesn't hang out with. But he is just, he's a huge Heat fan. He grew up in a personal injury family, and he can handle everything for you. Okay, so car accidents, slip and falls, medical malpractice, and more. The phone number is 954-829-ERIC, 954-829-ERIC. That's 954-829-ERIC, or on Instagram at Ask About Me, I got you. And also, he sponsors our daily clip, our court clip on our Instagram account at Five Reasons Sports. All right, the Memphis Grizzlies are an interesting team this year in this sense. John Morant is an MVP candidate, legit. He's taken the leap, literally and figuratively. They actually have a better record without him this year than with him because of some of the things that they did. I would argue that if you just look at the type of players they have, that they would be the most problematic. They're unlikely to get to the finals, I think. I think they're a young team. They haven't been anywhere near that far before. They're in a play-in situation last year. But I just think if they got to the finals, there are a lot of matchups we wouldn't like. Is that fair, Alex?
Oh, it's more than fair. It would present a lot of problems. And it's just a team that has constantly made me look stupid this season, because every time I kind of try to box them in, they get out of it and like, oh yeah, there'll be a cool 7 seed. Oh, a 5 seed. Oh, 3 seed. Like they just keep climbing and keep getting out of it. And it's just what happens when a young team figures things out so quickly. I think we're just not used to seeing it. Ja is one of those type of talents, but you got Jaren figuring it out. You got Desmond Bane playing at a really high level there. And they're doing it with like Dylan Brooks having been in and out of the lineup too. And he was one of their best players before this season. They've got a lot of guys up and down the rotation who are just good players. Most of them are young. And I feel like, I think I said this last season, like all of them play like vets. The way that they play, like it's just very, but it's not without energy though. That's the thing. Like it's constant relentlessness and energy. But it's very procedural in the sense that they're making the right reads and they're getting things done on both ends. Like they're a very good team on both ends of the floor when you look at the numbers. So yeah, like they'll be tough, but I'm not really looking at the Grizzlies as a serious contender to beat the Heat yet. Like I'm going to box them in one more time and they might make me look stupid again. Odds are they will, but I'm just not putting them on the same level as the Suns and Grizzlies yet. I think the Heat could scheme for what Ja does, even if he will beat most of their guys off the dribble. The Heat are always going to send help. And you're going to have to bank on the shooters that the Grizzlies have beating you night after night in a series. And I just don't think they would have enough to beat the Heat this season.
Brady, what would have to happen for Memphis to get to the finals?
I think, first of all, Dylan Brooks would have to be healthy and play at an extremely high level, because they'd have to have that maybe Victor Oladipo type addition that ends up playing way above his head. And the other thing I think from Miami's sense, it's kind of to his point, was they would probably box Ja in and try to do that the other shooters would just get good open looks. That's probably the last team you want to do that against. Like, among the teams that we're discussing in the West, like they have more options around him. That I just feel like it's interesting. They remind me, though, of like Atlanta of last year. Like it feels like they can make a run maybe to the Western Conference Finals, but that would probably be the capped out, because I feel like maybe Ja, like Trey, could just go on an incredible run. Maybe some of the role players play above them. But other than that, it just feels like this is just like a really unlikely option, because I just can't see them taking down. Like we're talking about them playing like vets, but they're going to be playing against real vets that have been in these situations, been in the playoffs, been in the finals in these Warriors and Suns teams. It just feels like it's going to be really hard to picture them being in that type of final situation.
All right, we're going to get to your wild card team here. Okay. So think of this as we go to break. The one team that you think could get to the finals and give the Heat trouble, because we've seen dark horses. It doesn't happen often, but sometimes teams come from beyond the top 3 seeds. I know I haven't mentioned one of sort of the blue blood teams, but I don't know that I take them particularly seriously, but we'll talk about it when we come back for the break. Before we do, I'll tell you about another sponsor, the Five Reasons Sports Network, and that's prizepicks.com. Use code 5, FIVE. Get your initial deposit match. You put down $100, they'll give you $100 to play with. This is the official daily fantasy partner. And you can play the Heat games. You can play all the other games. You can pair players from different sports, different teams, 2, 3, 4, 5 players. Just use that code 5, okay? FIVE. If you don't use the code, you're like giving away free money. Use the code 5 and you will get your deposit matched at prizepicks.com, or just download the app. All right, let's do this. I don't want to talk through all the teams, okay? I don't want to talk through all the teams. I just want everybody to give me one, all right? Give me the wild card team in the West that you think could get to the finals and could give the Heat the most problems. Alex.
Damn it, Ethan. I was trying to sort between the ones that came to my head here. So just one quick question. Are we assuming health
Because yes. That's a huge one.
Yes. Well, we're assuming they wouldn't get to the finals without the health, right? So, okay. I think in one case, I don't think you can assume Kawhi Leonard's health. I think we have to put that to the side.
But that's one of the teams that I had, just came to my mind automatically. But the real reason I'm asking is for the Nuggets. Okay. That's the team I want to pick.
So I'm going to give you Jamal Murray back. I'm not going to give you Michael Porter Jr. back. I'm not going to give you Kawhi back. I'm going to give you Paul George back, which is not a certainty by any means. I'm going to give you Jamal Murray back. And we can't give you Joel, Ingles back because he's already gone and he's out for the season. And we're going to give you Anthony Davis back. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't going to pick the Lakers anyways, but might as well just say that. If Kawhi's not back, I'm not picking the Clippers. But yeah, I was going to say the Nuggets. I just respect them. They've won series before. They've gotten better and better after, every season that they've been together. Jokic just has continued to get better. I don't know. Like, even without Porter, they might be able to make that type of run. I wouldn't bet on it. But I if you're talking about a dark horse team, I could totally see that happening. I just have a lot of respect for Murray. And if he is looking good and looking like himself, they can make a run. Like, I guess that means you would have to get the Warriors in the second round, probably. I mean, I'm not sure where they're seated right now, but if not, like, you got to go through one of the Suns of the Warriors. I don't think it's the craziest thing that they could beat one of those two teams. Having to beat both of them is really tough, but I would pick the Nuggets there.
Brady?
Yeah, I probably would have gone with the Nuggets just because Jamal Murray is like a big piece of that. And I think going among these teams, like when you're talking about Jokic, a guy that was the MVP, probably will be the MVP again, possibly, like that has to be the one you go with. But I'm going to go in a different direction. I'm going to say Dallas. I feel like Dallas can actually go on a run through Luka, but also give the Heat maybe the most trouble, because I feel like thinking after that last Heat game between Dallas, the thing we talked about on the podcast after the game was, okay, this is another team that has a little bit of length defensively. They've gotten it together defensively. And they gave Jimmy Butler trouble. And when I'm thinking about matchups and teams that maybe Miami doesn't want to see, you revolve that around your best player, and that's Jimmy Butler. And I feel like that's the one team that maybe if they throw length at them, they can flatten your offense out. And I just don't think that was something we expected to say about this Dallas Mavericks team before the season. And we know what they could do offensively. We know that Dinwiddie's actually playing really well. I know we were both skeptical about maybe that type of gelling between Luka and him, because you're putting a guy that's pretty much an on-ball guy that's not much of a catch-and-shoot off-ball player. But he's been playing well. Like, they have enough guys. They have a bunch of role players. Miami's plan against Dallas was, okay, we're going to take Luka out of the picture. We're going to make everybody else beat him. Everybody else did beat them. Like, late in that game, they took Luka out. Guys like Dorian Finney-Smith and Maxi Kleber and all these guys are hitting big shots in the fourth to kind of close Miami out. That it just feels like Luka can be that good that he can probably go on a run and take out one of these teams as a dark horse.
All right. I think those are the two teams, honestly. But just to go in a different direction, and because I don't want to pick Rudy Gobert, I'm going to say the PG Clippers. And the reason is Ty Lue's figured out a way to keep this thing afloat without his two stars. They've added Norm Powell. Reggie Jackson's playing at a high level right now. We saw them make a bit of a mini run last year. I think they're dangerous, and I think they would be dangerous for Miami in the finals. That they have options. They would be playing, first thing, they would be a huge underdog with big momentum at that point. But I would say that. I think of the two choices that you guys went with, I would lean Nuggets, actually, for one reason. First, I think they're more likely to get there than Dallas. But also, we know Bam does not do well with Jokic. And again, with Luka didn't shoot the ball well against Miami the last time. Like, there are options against Luka. They don't have options against Jokic. Like, he has
for Jokic, like you can with Embiid.
You can, right? Right. And I don't think with Bam, I just don't think Bam matches up well with him. And I've said repeatedly, to win a championship, Bam is going to have to play at a high level. I don't think that necessarily happens against Jokic. So there also would be a bit of a drumbeat at that point. You'd have a guy who was, the MVP last year, maybe second or third in MVP this year, if he doesn't finish first, where, it kind of feel a little bit like his time. Jamal Murray's not a player who relies heavily on athleticism. I think he's going to come back fine. I don't know that losing Porter hurts them that much. And I think that they would be a problem for Miami. So I would lean more Nuggets than Mavs. But
Markieff Morris redemption series.
Yes, I'm telling you one thing. I'm not going Utah. Not going Utah. It's not happening. All right, check out our sponsors, PrizePicks.com.
Salt Lake City is beautiful.
Use code 5. I don't want to go to Utah. Maybe that's the problem.
Wayne told me.
Eric Rubenstein, our personal injury attorney here. You can check him out and ask about me. I got you on Instagram. He's going to have a website up soon as well. And NordVPN.com/5RSN. Have a good night, everybody. Or day.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Regional Sports Network.